Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, I've been really enjoying these holiday times. All my grandkids were down and we were having a great time. And this was, I guess it was the Friday after Christmas. They wanted to ride in my cart. So I hooked it up to my tractor, rode them around my acreage, and they enjoyed it and had a great time. And I wasn't even thinking about looking at my phone, or I didn't even know where my phone was. And then I guess around 5:30, 6 o'clock, when everything kind of settled down, I looked at my phone and I saw I had a call. And when I called back, it was headquarters. And headquarters says, Apostle said, you got it on Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we know one of the things I've learned is to, well, always be prepared, always be ready. But a lot of times, and this has happened more than once, the Holy Spirit will really alert me. To be mindful. You know, you could be called in the next week or two. And in most cases, it has happened that way, you know. And actually, that's one of the things I want to talk about today, because Sunday before last, this was the Sunday that we had the baptism. Apostle talked about developing a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things Brother Larry stated it last Sunday, he said, you're not going to get nothing new. You know, so if you're expecting a new revelation, you need to go down to the church down the street, because, you know, I believe in following in the same vein, in the same footsteps as my man of God. You know, when he makes a right turn, I make a right turn. When he make a left turn, I make a left turn. I stay as close to his heels as I can in his teaching. Matter of fact, I don't even take time to and I'm not saying anything, you know, bad about any of them. I just don't listen to nobody else. You know, the only ministry and the only man of God I listen to is my man of God and those people who are in the organization, because I know you're going to be getting sound teaching, and I know it's going to be rightly divided, and I know it's going to be in line with apostolic government. And that's so very important. Amen. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Job, Job chapter 22. As I stated earlier, 22 and 21. As I stated earlier, we're going to be talking about my subject matter, if we need a subject matter, is acquainting thyself with him. Acquainting thyself with him. It's so very important that we learn how to acquaint thyself with him. And to be at peace, thereby good shall come unto us. I looked up the word acquaint, and it really blessed me. You know, in everyday society, the word acquaint, a lot of me, you know, I'm pleased to meet your acquaintance. You know, somebody might introduce you to somebody. And a lot of times it's a kind of a casual type of acquaintance. You may see them again and you may not see them again, you know, but it's just being cordial. But when I looked up a biblical definition for the word acquaint, it says to come to know firsthand, to come to know personally, you know, like a husband and a wife relationship. And I was thinking about this when I thought about a husband and wife relationship. If you took 10 women and set them up in the front and had them all reading the same scripture, and one of those women was my wife and blindfolded me and had me walk in front of each one of them, when I got to my wife, I that's my wife. Why? Because I'm acquainted with her. I know her voice. You know, everybody could be reading the same scripture, but when I get close to her, that's Robin. I know that voice, you know, because I have 43 years of acquaintance with her, of fellowship. Let me go on with the definition. It says to come to know personally. Also, it says to become deeply familiar with, know intimately, amen, develop a close personal relationship with him or with the Holy Spirit. So In the subject matter tonight, we're looking at developing, becoming acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And even though we know who the Holy Spirit is, we can always become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him. And the reason why you want to become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him, because you want to know his voice. You want to know his voice. That's paramount in your life. That's paramount for success in every area of your life, is knowing the voice of God, knowing it and obeying it. You need to know, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know, God, through the years of, you know, of my Christian life and endeavors, I almost want to use the word something Apostle used to use years ago. I was kind of Tarzan trained in hearing the voice of God. When you say Tarzan trained, you know, Tarzan had this rope and he just, woo, and he would go from tree to tree, you know. And then, you know, when you're Tarzan trained, they just throw you the rope, say, have at it. You got it. It's just like, you know, when I got the call, you got it, you know, go with it, you know. But I was somewhat, when I say Tarzan trained, let me kind of pre-reference it. Let me finish this definition. It implies more than just a superficial knowledge, suggesting aligning your will with God's will, understanding his ways, and living in harmony with him for spiritual peace and blessing. The first time I heard the voice of God and knew it as being the voice of God. Well, at the time, I really didn't know, but I knew I heard a voice and I didn't know where it was coming from, even though I thought I knew. But let me explain. 2 weeks ago, we had a baptism, as everybody knows. We had about 20 people get baptized. And that always kind of brings me back to my baptism when I was in the Baptist church. I remember we sat on the front row, the mourner's pew. We had to, you know, there were certain things you had to do to kind of make sure you were ready for baptism. You know, some people would have a travel or have an experience with God or have. But even so, I believe even at that time, I had an experience with God, because that evening after I got baptized, I had an uncle who would always, on Sunday evenings, he would do a Sunday evening drive. He would go to like a Dairy Queen or someplace to get ice cream. We all get an ice cream cone. And I think it was an old Buick. I'm not really sure what kind of car it was. But anyway, back then, all the cars were rear-wheel drive, and you had a drive shaft that ran down the center. So you had a hump in the middle of the car. And I was eight, so I was sitting on the hump right in front of the radio. And you know, I'm just listening to the conversations, listening to the radio, and all of a sudden, I hear this voice speaking to me. Son, I love you. I died for you. I love you. You know, Jesus loves you. And I'm looking around, you know, and I'm saying, oh, that's coming from the radio. But no, music was coming from the radio, so it wasn't the radio. And I didn't know it at the time, but the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he, you know, because I had made a commitment for Christ and my spirit was open to his spirit, now he was, at the age of eight, was trying to communicate with me, trying to steer me in the right direction. You know, but the next day, now I'm an eight-year-old, we're playing, riding bikes, you know, doing everything that an eight-year-old kid do. I didn't really think much of it, so I just kind of pushed it aside. Never forgot it, but I just kind of, you know, pushed it aside. And so I'm not saying God didn't speak anymore, but I just wasn't listening, you know. And it wasn't until I was 19 years old, as a student at Southern University, when I rededicated my life to the Lord and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord began to speak again. The same voice. One thing I want to say, and I don't want to get too far off course, but one thing I want to say is, once you hear his voice, you know his voice. You know his voice, you know. I remember after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like the very next day I was walking around campus coming back from my class, And he started off where he left off when I was 8. Son, I love you. I died for you. And I it was just such a peace that came over me. And I was one of the things that I did out of just because I enjoyed it was I took the time to pray in the Holy Spirit much. When I'm going to classes, when I was laying in my bed, and sometimes I would just sit there and just kind of meditate. And it was during those times God began to speak. And I began to recognize and become acquainted with his voice. You know, one of the things I want to encourage, I know I'm speaking to what you consider the vanguard or those faithful and fruit, the remnant that's going to be here on Wednesdays and Sundays and Thursdays and every special meeting. But, you know, one of the things I want to stress is the importance of spending time praying in the Holy Spirit and giving God an opportunity to speak to you. Not always, I mean, yeah, pray, definitely. You know, but after so long, just be quiet, be still. The Bible says to be still and to know that he's God. You know, you need to know God for yourself and know when he's speaking to you because your very life can depend on it. You know, he's giving you instructions, telling you to turn right or turn left. Don't go here. Don't go there. I remember one situation. I was leaving church and I had just got off the interstate on Essen Lane. And there's a Chevron station. Well, it was. I don't know what it is now, but it was a Chevron station right next to the Waffle House. And nobody was in the station. I was the only car there. And I remember a gentleman walking through the parking lot, walking through the station, headed towards Waffle House. So I got out my truck and I'm filling it up with gas, you know, and I'm, you know, trying to get as much in there as I can. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit said, look this way. I looked and that same gentleman had turned around and started coming back. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, stop pumping gas and get in your truck right now. And I'm saying, well, I can get at least one more gallon there. He said, no, stop now. So the minute I took the out of my car and put it back, you know, the nozzle, the man started running towards me. So I jumped in my car, locked the door. By the time I turned the ignition, he was beating on the window, you know. But I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit alerted me and told me, hey, you got enough gas, get in your car and go. You know, don't know what his intentions was, but he didn't fall through with whatever he wanted to do. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's just a small example. You know, I can go on several examples, but I'll be wasting too much of my precious time. So I'm not. But that's why it's so important to know and to hear and to know the voice of God and to instantly obey. That's so very important. You have to obey. When the Lord tells you something, I use this illustration. Partial obedience is disobedience. In other words, not doing everything he told you to do. You know, kind of like who was it? The king who the guy told him to utterly kill all the Amalekites and everything. And he spared the king and he spared the best of the sheep. You know, that's partial obedience. He killed everybody else, but he spared some people. And the prophet Samuel told him to kill them all. You know, kill everything, the children, the sheep, the goat, you know, but he spared the best. You know, that was disobedience. You know, Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, so partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience, when you delay, you don't do it right away. That's disobedience. You know, suppose I would have delayed and I was trying to delay to get another gallon in there. But suppose I would have delayed, you know, who knows? I don't know. I'm not going to even say it, but I didn't. I went ahead and did what God told me to do. Amen. Okay. All right. Let me move on. Let's go now to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 18. Isaiah 18. When you get to 18, it'll be 18 and 1. Isaiah I'm sorry, 1 and 18. I got it reversed. 1 and 18 is what I wanted to go to. So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 out of the King James Version, it says, "To come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow, white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Verse 19, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." Verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken it." Now, the Amplified Bible illustrates that a little differently. Let me see. Here it is. Okay, I'm sorry, not the Amplified, the Passion. The Passion Bible says, "Come now and let us deliberate carefully, or weigh or consider, the next steps to take together." Then he says, "Yahweh promised you over and over, though your sins, you know, or your shortcomings, which means missing the mark, though your sins be stained like scarlet, I will whiten them like bright new fallen snow. Even though they are deep red crimson, they will be made white like wool. If you be willing and obedient, to hear my voice, obey, you will feast, and the blessings and the blessings of obedience will be yours, of an obedient harvest. But if you are stubborn and refuse to obey, the sword will eat you. Instead, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." You know, what God was showing me through this verse of scripture in Isaiah, you know, when he wants to reason together with you, you know, it's not so much you and him talking, because there's nothing you can say that he don't already know, you know. So, but he wants to reason with you to begin to show you what his plan, what his purpose is for your life. What his plan, what his purpose is. So when he says, "Let us reason together," you know, though you might have been missing the mark, you know, all sin is missing the mark. If you ever played darts or archery, there's a bullseye that you're trying to hit. And when you're throwing darts, if you don't hit the bullseye, you're really missing the mark. And as you get better at it, you begin to get closer and closer to that red bullseye. What we're trying to do in acquainting ourselves with God is to get as close to that bullseye as possible, as close to hearing God and understanding his voice and knowing his voice as possible. Because when that happens, blessing and fruitfulness and peace and joy and victory is going to be your reward. Because when you begin to obey God and serve God in the capacity that he wants you to, you can't help but be blessed. You cannot help but be blessed. You know, I'm telling you what I know. Like I said, you know, I first heard the voice of God when I was about 8. Then I really never, he might have been speaking between 8 and 19, but after 19, I began to hear his voice more. And something happened. A hunger and a thirst was developed in me. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 7. Book of St. John. John chapter 7 and verse 37. A very familiar verse of scripture. A very familiar verse of scripture. John 7 and 37. Amen. It says here in John 7 and 37, and this is prophesying about the Holy Spirit. But it says something, a key word here that I want to point out. It says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, 'If any man thirsts,'" that's the key word, "'if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. You have to be thirsty for the things of God. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because at that time Jesus had not yet been glorified. You know, but he says, if any man thirsts, you know, you have to be thirsty for the things of God, you know, and during those latter teenage years into my adult years, I began to be thirsty for God. And what I remember so clearly and vividly was God at that time was beginning, because now I'm hearing his voice more clearly, more accurately, and obeying him in certain areas. He started to begin to direct my path. Now, I had a path set out, but it wasn't the path that God wanted me to set out. You know, I majored in psychology and was desiring to go to grad school. And I was, you know, doing well in my studies. But all of a sudden, God said, no, that's not my will for you. You know, so I had to shut that down. You know, after I graduated, I wanted to go to the Bible College in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I remember I shared the story. I was writing. That's back during the time that people actually wrote letters. They had stationery. Now we just texted, you know. But I was writing my fiance, who's my wife, and I was telling her that I plan on attending Rhema Bible Training Center after I graduate. And when I began to write the word, I couldn't write it. My hand started trembling. You know, I mean, trembling. And I would stop for a while, you know, kind of shake it off and say, maybe my nerves just, you know, and it started trembling again. And about three, and then I just stood up and just started praying. I said, God, what's going on, Lord? Just something ain't right. And as I began to praise God, God began to show me, this is not my perfect will for you. You know, at the time, I mean, I didn't know of any other Bible college to go to, you know. So I said, well, maybe I'm just not called, so I just, you know, I'm not going. And when I did get back, you know, I can tell you that was about a 30-minute process, because even my roommate couldn't even get in the room, because he said it was almost like, you know, a fog in the room. He tried to open the door, and he said, you know, I can't get in. I can't walk in. And then 5 minutes later, he stood by the closet, which is in the front of the room, and he prayed. He was also saved, filled the Holy Spirit. He prayed with me and said, what's going on? I said, well, God told me that I'm not going to Rhema. But anyway, it was all about knowing his voice and understanding his leading. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that when you begin to be thirsty for God and hungry and begin to seek his face, his directive for your life begins to be more. Let me see where I have that at. His directions begin to be more clear, because now you're heading in the path that he set for you. You're heading in the directions that God wants you to go. You know, so he begin to orchestrate, you know, and begin to do things or allow you to see things more clearly. But the key is to stay hungry. You got to stay hungry. You can never just say, well, I got enough of God. I'm where I need to be. No, you need to continue to strive for more. And that's so very important. What I want to do now, because I want to make sure I cover scriptures that I need to cover. Let's go to the book of St. John, and let's look at John chapter 10. These are familiar scriptures. The apostles went over them a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just following closely behind his footsteps. John chapter 10. What I'm going to do now is share some scriptures pertaining to the Holy Spirit and some of the things that the Holy Spirit was sent to do. Amen? All right. Let's just go down to John 10 and 3. It says, to him the porter opened it, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name and leaded them out. You know, That's something that the Holy Spirit will do. He will call your name and he will lead you out, because as sheep, we should be hearing the voice of God. Verse 4, and then he put it forth, his own sheep, and goeth before them, and they and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Now, it didn't say they couldn't hear the voice of the stranger. It just said they don't know it. They're not familiar with it. You know, there was a time, and I'm not going to go into the detail because it's irrelevant, that I heard two voices in one night. The first voice, I was somewhere I didn't need to be. I was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and I was still yet carnal. And the first voice says, go for it. Now, I'm just paraphrasing. In other words, go for it. Whatever you plan on doing, go ahead and do it. But then the second voice says, get up off the floor and sit back on the couch. Now, you fill in the blanks, okay? But I got up off the couch, and I felt silly. But the second voice was more authoritative, you know, and I heard it just like I'm talking to you. The other person in the room didn't hear nothing, but the Holy Spirit says, get up off the floor and go sit back on the couch. And I said, okay, now, Lord, what am I going to do now? He said, take that track out of your book sack and begin to witness. So I witnessed. It was a young lady. I witnessed to a young lady. She eventually got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying that God at that time was beginning to direct my life in ways at the time I couldn't quite understand. You know, he was leading me away from people that I didn't need to be around, because of bad influences and because of their destinies was going in a different direction than the destiny that God had for me, you know. And you know, there was other incidents that where I was somewhere I didn't need to be, and the Lord says, no, you know, don't go there. Don't do this, you know. And you know, after I, and then there were incidences where the Lord just point blank told me, you know, who my wife was going to be. I remember praying. I said, Lord, I said, I thank you for a godly woman. I know my wife, she doesn't like me to talk about her, but it's just like Brother Larry said Sunday, thank God for, you know, for a godly mate. Thank God for a good helpmate, you know. But I had prayed and I asked God, I said, Lord, I thank you for somebody that know the word, that love you and want to serve you. And that, you know, I don't want nobody that I need to train and get them up to so where now we evenly yoke. No, I'm serious. I wanted somebody who already was knowledgeable so that we can grow together. You know, I remember one incident, her and I was together with about three or four other people. And this guy had an old car, and it would barely run, and it stopped working in the middle of Plank Road. And couldn't get it to start. And we were all Christians. They were laying hands on it. Start in the name of Jesus. Start in the name of Jesus. You know, and they were just going through all these maneuvers, you know. And me and her, we were kind of standing off to the side. And she looked at me. She says, are you ready to go? I said, yes, I am. She said, let's just agree that this, whatever is causing this car not to run, it's going to be fixed. And it's going to start. And we're going to be able to get back on campus. I says, okay. So we held hands and we were in agreement, you know. Lord, you know, we prayed the prayer of agreement, and we told them to go ahead and start the car. They said, oh, well, I said, go ahead and start the car so we can go. And he got in the car, started right back up, and that impressed me. I said, you know, it did. Reason why, because now I done found somebody who can pray the prayer of agreement with me, and things happen. You know, that made a difference. I remember after we had gotten married, I never forget one day I couldn't find my keys. We were staying in an apartment, and I said, have you seen them? I'm going up and down the stairs looking all around. She looked at me, and she says, have you asked your angels to help you find the keys? And I got a little upset, you know. And I said, no, I haven't. I said, okay, angels, help me find the keys. And I said, well, I'm going to go back upstairs and look for them again. And the bed was made up. The room was, you know, tidy. And when I walked up and looked at the bed, my keys was lying right on the side of the bed, you know. So I knew that my angels, wherever the keys was, Wayne got them and put them in where I could see them, you know. But I'm saying this to say this. I know we got some, you know, a few young kids in here. You need to believe God for a godly mate. You know, it'll make all the difference in the world. It'll make life so much easier. So much easier. Amen. Even though that's extra. I'm not charging you for that. Amen. But, okay, the key is knowing his voice, you know, and a stranger's voice not to follow. Let's go now to St. John and chapter 14. We're going to read several verses of scriptures in chapter 14. And we can start actually at St. John 14 and 16. And it's talking about the Comforter. Let's start at 15. St. John 14 and 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love God and you keep his commandments, then he says, and I will pray the Father and he will give thee another Comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit is called a Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in these verses of Scripture, Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, who would come, you know. And he was letting them know that, you know, if you go back to the first couple of verses in chapter 14, that, you know, he had to go away. He says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, so where I am, you may be also. But then he tells them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You know, I'm trying to visualize how the Lord shared it with me. While Jesus was on the earth, he was their comforter. I'll give you an example. When Jesus told them, let's get in the boat to go to the other side. Jesus went down in the boat and took a nap. They was out in the boat. All of a sudden, the sea rose up. It was tempest. And the boat was going back and forth, and they got scared. So they woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And he said, oh, ye of little faith. You know, and Jesus rose up and he calmed the sea, you know. But that was a comforter. You know what I mean? You scared the boat, the waves and it's boisterous, and all of a sudden, you know, you think, you know, you're going to perish. But Jesus was in the boat, you know. And who? You see, when you have an assignment, you can't be taken out. When you have an assignment, you just, nothing, you know, especially when you hear God, because that assignment has to be fulfilled. Jesus knew he was going to the other side to do some ministry, and he had his team with him, you know. And you see, that's why it's so important to be on the right team. Think about that. That's important to be on the right team, you know, because, you know, how can I say this? Because the anointing that's on the man of God, it's on all of us. And we all have an assignment here at Word of Life. And so when you begin to learn how to fulfill your assignment, you know, you become valuable to God, you know. And you might say, well, I'm just a greeter. Oh, no, you're not just a greeter. You are greeting people, especially new people that's coming in for the first time. You're making them welcome. You're making them feel like somebody, you know. And you say, well, I'm just an usher, but you're getting them seats. They don't have to look around. They could, you can say, I got something for you right here, you know. Or I'm just a parking lot attendant, but you know, you're making it easy for them to get in and get out of service, you know. Or I just work in the nursery. Well, you're tending to their children so they can come and hear the word, you know. Imagine if Apostle had to do all of that by himself. You know, he couldn't effectively do and what God has called him to do. You know, whenever God has a vision, he always surrounds that vision with people to undergird that vision so that that vision can have feet and that vision can now begin to move forward. You know, he's not here today, but I'm here to help carry on that vision. You know, you're here to help carry on that vision. You know, the work of the ministry continues irregardless. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 17. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And I said that the Holy Spirit was a comforter. You know, and I pondered on the word comforter for a while. And in the last couple of days, it's been a little cold. And my wife keeps some comforters, or some what you might call like a little soft blanket comforter on our couches. And so when it gets cold, you can throw that little comforter over you, and it warms you, keeps you warm. Well, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's a covering. Well, the Holy Spirit, he's our covering. He'll comfort us. He'll protect us. You know, he'll cause us to walk in victory in every area of our lives. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So here Jesus now, granted, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet because Jesus was still on the earth. But he's getting them ready, letting them know that the Holy Spirit is gonna be in you, going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. You see, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you in the measure of salvation, you know. And then when you got filled with the Holy Spirit came with you in his fullness of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. And that's God, that's being God inside minded. That's having the mind of Christ living on the inside of you, you know. So the more time you take to get yourself acquainted with him, the more now he's going to lead you and guide you into the perfect will of God. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be aligning yourself up with God's will. You know, you want to align yourself up with God's will. I have here, when you align your will with God's will, you hear his voice more clearly, more distinctly, and more accurately. You need an apostolic anointing to put you in the proper spiritual place that you need to be in. You need an apostolic anointing. Because if it wasn't for Apostle and wasn't for Word of Life Christian Center, I have no idea where I would be. I'm just be honest with you. I have no idea. Getting back to, you know, now I talked about my college days and God began to slowly direct me, pointing me to my wife. We got married, you know. I started working at a job for 37 years. And I got busy about just being a father, being a husband, you know, being an employee. And for years, you know, I would go to a church, but I still wasn't in God's perfect will. I was doing some good things, but I wasn't doing what God had called me to do, you know. And it wasn't until I came in contact or came to this ministry where all of a sudden now God starts speaking again. I can't go into it all, but I remember my wife, she said, it was between Christmas and New Year, like the New Year's tomorrow, Christmas was, you know, 6-7 days ago. Back in 1989, it was a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. My wife said, let's go to Word of Life today. And she had been sneaking off going when I was working, and I wasn't going, you know. But I was in a festive mood, so I said, okay, let's go. We can go. And so we left. And you see, now what happened is God was getting me in a position where I could hear his voice again. You know, I'm sitting in the old church. It's been burnt down, and it's not even there. It's like a part. I don't know what they got there now. But anyway, there was a pole right in the middle of the church. I was sitting close to this pole that helped hold the church up. And all of a sudden, as the apostle was ministering, I heard the voice that says, this is where you need to be. I turned around because I thought the guy behind me was speaking to me. And I'm looking, he's looking at, you know, Dr. Thompson. And I said, Lord, that's you. And I said, okay. I didn't say nothing to my wife at the time. We got home, and I said, the Lord spoke to me today and told me that, you know, we need to be at Word of Life Christian Center. She looked at me and told me, says, I know. I've been waiting on you. You know, I've been waiting on you. You know, that's why, getting back to what I said earlier, I'm throwing some points and some plugs in. It's good to have a godly wife, you know, because if it wasn't for her at that time, I don't know if I would have came. But when I came and God spoke to me, and the next Sunday, he gave the invitation. I stood up. I looked at her. She stood up. So we come forward. And then when Apostle, he came down and he looked at me, said, son, he had ministered to us about 3 or 4 years earlier. He told me, he said, you can come and you can glean from my ministry. I'm not telling you to leave your church. But he said, son, you got a call of God on your life. You need to be pastored. I don't think you're being pastored. In other words, basically, you need a spiritual father, what he was saying. You need somebody who could nurture you. And I wasn't being nurtured. And I had never in my entire life had somebody read my mail the way he read my mail. He opened up my mail and never seen me before, but it's almost like he could see through me like a book, that I wasn't doing what God called me to do. And so when he came down there, he said, son, you should have been here. The Lord told me you was going to be one of my members. And I said, wow, and you see, that's what a prophet, he even back then, he was operating in a prophetic ministry, an apostolic ministry. Joined the church. This was going into 1990. And guess what happened 4 or 5 months later? Evan Christian World Training Center was opening up. And he from the pulpit says, I'm starting a school of ministry. And I want you men and women to pray about, entering the school of ministry. And all of a sudden, now the Holy Spirit starts speaking. I'm hearing his voice now. Because I'm lining myself up. I'm in a position where God can speak to me. Okay? And that's important, to be in the right position where God can speak. Now, if I was at the ballroom or at the club or at the football game, I don't know if he would have told me that. But I'm where God had called me to be. So I'm aligning myself up, where I needed to be. And so I enrolled in the school of ministry. I was a 2-year school. Now we call it Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And God's blessed me to be an instructor in that school. But here's the thing that every time I say it, it chokes me. I get choked up because the day before we graduated, Kenneth Hagin was having a Holy Ghost meeting in Jackson, Mississippi. An apostle was there. And I walked in the sanctuary late that evening, and I've shared this before, and there was no seats in the sanctuary. It was all full, and there was overflow in the annex building. And Apostle saw me, and he beckoned for me to come to the front. He was on the front row, right where Brother Ronald is. And he said, son, you got your seat? Yeah. I said, no, look like all the seats are full, Pastor. I said, I guess I'm going to have to go in the overflow room. He said, hold up. I got favor with the usher. Let me get the head usher. Said he beckoned for the usher. The usher came, and he said, this is one of my men. Can you get him a seat? He said, Apostle, well, everything, Dr. Thompson, everything is full. He said, but what we're about to do, we're about to put some chairs down the center aisle. And I'll go get a chair and put his chair right next to you, so he's sitting right next to you. So I'm sitting in the center aisle right next to Dr. Thompson, Apostle, And Kenneth Hagin comes and starts ministering. And I've been to several meetings with Apostle, where Kenneth Hagin was ministering, and just like he said, he can start ministering over there where Ricardo is, but he's going to find Apostle and stand, like I say, where Freddie is, and stand right there and minister to him. He came over. I'm in the chair, and he's looking over me at Apostle. I'm here. Apostle's there. The only reason I was closer is because I was in the way, But this is what God told me. He said, son, he said, you are in my perfect will. He said, I know you wanted to go to this man's ministry, but that's not what my will for you. I've called you to submit and serve your man of God. And he submitted to Kenneth Hagin. So he said, don't think you're getting everything you need, because what his man of God is pouring into him, he's pouring into you. So you're getting everything that you need, and from that point on, things just escalated, prison ministry, school of ministry, whatever, pinch hitting for him, whatever needed to be done. Because I remember when God told me, he said, son, I'm going to use you in supportive ministries. So you're not going to always be in the forefront, you know, behind the pulpit. He says, but you're going to be in the background, you know, and don't think it's a lesser call because it has a great responsibility to it. You know, so, you know, and that's why I tell people wherever God called you, don't look at it and don't belittle your calling, because it's very, you know, the feeble members have more, that scripture talked about more comeliness, you know, those, you know, because it's really as, and really sometimes even more important. Amen. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. My time is moving. Okay. This is what Paul said about the Holy Spirit. And now you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. You know, Paul illustrated the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit. You cannot pray in the Holy Spirit too much. You cannot pray in the Holy Spirit too much, you know. But the only key is take some breaks to have him speak to you. You know, you want it to be a dialogue. You praying and then you listening, you know. And sometimes the Bible says to be still and know that I'm God. And that's so very important that we know how to be still. When you start aligning your will with God's will for your life, the Spirit of God starts speaking more directly to you, ushering you into his perfect will. An apostle structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of heaven can be opened, so that those that desire can enter in, and those who connect can enter in and benefit. You know, there's a heaven to earth connection that apostle, because of his calling, that's opened up. The windows of heaven are open to us. You know, all we got to do is position ourselves properly, you know, and enter into the blessings of God, enter into God's goodness, because it's there for us, you know. But it's so very important that we hear God's voice and get clear, precise direction about the next move, the next job, the, you know, our mate, you know, our ministry. And sometimes we may have to just wait, and things may not transpire right away, but if God said it, it's going to come to pass, you know. But you just got to get yourself ready. Amen. You know, Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Apostle said, keep your faith filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to keep your faith filled with the Holy Ghost. How do you keep your faith filled with the Holy Ghost? Praying it. Continue to pray in the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up. You know, I use the illustration of a bodybuilder. My son likes to lift weights. He was here for Christmas Day. You know, he's all buffed up. You know, he's got a six pack, and he runs and just enjoys it. When you pray in other tongues, just like a bodybuilder builds their muscles, you are building your spiritual muscles. And really what's happening is you're becoming more in tune. You know, back in the day, people don't listen to radios much anymore. But back in the day, you had AM, you had FM, and that was it. And at night, the AM stations, you could pick them up a little better because of something called the ionosphere, that the radio waves bounce off the ionosphere and it travels further, and it just don't go straight. I just don't go up through above the clouds. But sometimes you have to play with that dial, that tuner, to get that station to come in. You know, when you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you're fine tuning your spiritual senses to hear God. You're fine tuning it. You know, I got you now, Lord. I hear you now. You know, that's important, because you want to hear. You want to hear what God has to say. And he's always speaking, but we always have to be in a position and a place where we're hearing. That's so very important that we're hearing God. Amen. This is something the apostle said a couple of Sundays ago. He said, this is true spiritual freedom and maturity. You are being called to walk in faith at its highest dimension. The strongest faith you will ever experience must be filled with the Holy Ghost. So your faith must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I added, having the word of God, hearing the word of God and yielding to the Spirit of God will produce supernatural consciousness that cannot be stopped. You know, this is the way, and it's so important that you begin to build yourself up by your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You know, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries or divine secrets. You know, when you're praying in other tongues, you're praying divine mysteries. And a lot of times God, when you're quiet, God will give you insight to what you've been praying about. You know, he'll give you enlightenment about what you're praying about. And sometimes you might be praying about something for somebody else, but because they're in need. I remember one situation. This is back when I was a student. People who are familiar with Southern, they're familiar with that red stick right by the Mississippi River at the end of Hardin Boulevard. They got this stick, this symbol on it. That used to be one of my praying spots. So I'm sitting up there praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, it was one Saturday just enjoying my fellowship with God. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to him. He says, stop, get up, and walk about a half a mile to the Methodist Center. I'm saying, go to the Methodist. I mean, I had the keys to it because we had prayer meetings at the Methodist Center. I'm saying, go to the Methodist Center. But, you know, here again, you know, instant obedience or partial obedience or disobedience. So I got up and I walked about a half a mile, a little bit past the football stadium to the Methodist Center, right before you get to the hump, or the bridge that crosses, you know, over the railroad track. And when I got there, there was a young lady sitting on the step. Her blouse was all twisted, clothes was half on her, no shoes, hair was all, you know, everywhere. And I said, ma'am, are you all right? And she said, me and my boyfriend had a fight. And, he wanted to have a relationship with me, but I didn't. And he forced himself. She was raped, okay? She said, I'm here because I know this is a church, a Methodist Center, and I just wanted to get as close to God as I can because I feel dirty. I feel, you know, I feel like I should have given in, but I didn't want to, and he forced himself on me. I'm saying, wow. So I said, let me pray with you. She didn't want prayer. She was just, I tried to communicate with her. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going on the inside. If you want help, you can sit down. Then, you know, there's a table here. I can get you some water. You can get cleaned up and, you know. So I went in. Then about 2 minutes later, she came in and I sat down and I ministered to her. She gets saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately her countenance changed. Immediately, you know, it was like, you know, she thought she was at the end of her ropes. And all of a sudden now, she experienced hope. She experienced peace, you know. But I go back to the fact I'm praying, and all of a sudden the Lord says stop and go, and I went, and I was able to minister to somebody, you know. One of the things we do in this ministry, you know, changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. You know, we have, you know, well into the thousands of people to get saved. The Holy Ghost could lead you to the person that needed the most, you know, and that's happened not once, not twice, but several times in situations where just hearing his voice, you know, hearing his voice. I remember another situation in prison ministry. I was trying to get into a facility in La Place, and I drove up. It was a new facility. I drove up and proceeded to go into the facility. And the minute I opened the door, one of the sergeants was coming out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's the man you need to see. And I'm set in my natural mind to go to the desk and introduce myself and, you know, find out, you know, what my process is. And when I got to the desk, the guy at the desk said, "The man you need to see just left. He just walked out the door." I said, "Was it a tall man?" And I described him. He said, "Yeah, that's him." I said, "Well, yeah, I opened the door for him." I said, "Let me go out and see if he's still in the parking lot." Well, Holy Spirit was gracious. I mean, when he told me that's the man I needed to see, I should have started talking to him right then and there. You know, but, you know, here again, I'm trying to look at things in the natural. Sometimes we're so naturally minded, we're no spiritually good. But the Holy Spirit was gracious. Somebody stopped him in the parking lot, and I stood behind him while he finished talking to another officer. And I said, "Excuse me, are you Sergeant so-and-so?" I introduced myself, and I told him what I was here to do. He said, "Yeah, well, if you come back next tomorrow, I can give you an application." I said, "Well, sir, I'm here now. If it's not any problem, can you give me an application now? Because I'd have to come back from Baton Rouge, and this was a plot." She said, "Sure, not a problem." So, you know, that happened, and things just, I mean, worked out fine. You know, it was a door that opened. But here again, it was hearing the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. You know, he directs you in ways, you know, but it's knowing his voice. It's knowing his voice and knowing, not only just knowing his voice, but obeying his voice. That's pivotal. That's pivotal. There's so much power available to us. Right now, we need to shift without drifting. That's something the apostle said a couple of weeks ago. Praying in the Holy Ghost and hearing and obeying the voice keeps you from drifting. When you drift, you're just going back and forth, no direction. But when you shift, if you're in a car, you know, some cars have, you know, several gears, and each time you shift into a gear, you get more power. You can go faster. You got first gear, you can go up to about maybe 20, 25. Second gear, you might get to 40. Third gear, now you're really moving. And you know, some of these cars now, they got up to 10 gears. And some of them have paddles behind them, the steering wheel. And when you put that thing in high gear, you can go. You know, and Pop said, we need to learn how to shift into another gear. You know, shift to where the power that God has for us is, we already have it. We just got to shift into it. We already got it, you know. And it ain't nothing that we have to pray for. It's already ours. It's just a matter of shifting it into the right gear and begin to move forward in the things of God. He said that the Holy Spirit, now, I'm just quoting some things the apostle said. I got about 2 minutes left, so these are some things I wrote down, and I feel like I qualify to say what he say because I'm submitted to him. You know, I remember back in the day where he would come back from a camp meeting and pretty much Minister Kenneth Hagin's sermon word for word, because I was at the camp meeting and I said that's exact, but it had the same effect, same power. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the anointer. He is the revelator. He is the comforter. He is the spirit of truth. John 16 and 13. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And whatsoever, and he will show you things to come. You know, that's so important. The Holy Spirit, he'll show you things to come. I always use the illustration. He's like an air traffic controller, and he can see he got air traffic controller have all these instruments, and they can see, you know, even in bad weather, and they can tell planes, "No, I need you to go higher or to drop down 2,000 feet and stay at that level until I tell you, because there's another plane or there's bad weather, what have you." Well, God can see things that we can't see. You know, we can only see so far, you know, but when we rely on him, he'll guide us and he'll lead us and he'll direct us in the way that he wants us to go. The Holy Spirit opens heaven. He opens the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He opens the Word of God to us. He opens the supernatural and we're able to get wisdom and things that we don't know. He can tell us what to do and when he tells us what to do, we can do it in his power because, you know, we have his wisdom, his revelation, and his ability. Amen. I'm just looking at my time. In conclusion, make 2026 the year where you get closer, you get more intimate with the Holy Spirit, where you get acquainted with him in a greater and a deeper way. And you find yourself moving from one level to the next level to the next level. Amen.